Our reading today comes from 2 Timothy chapter 3. If you need a church Bible, stick your hand up. And the reading is on the page is 1197 in the church Bibles. 1197. And it's 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to start reading from verse 14. Words of Paul. It says, as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching and rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. Let's get Mike up and we're going to pray for him. Just to say, small group notes are available. I know we've got a members meeting, but in the future, there's some notes here for those who need them. Okay. And let's just pray for Mike. Father, your word is beautiful. We thank you for it. Lord, we thank you it sets us free. And Lord, we pray for Mike as he just shares your word, what you put on his heart. Lord, may we receive it with open hearts and open minds. And Lord, will it accomplish what you desire it to? Lord, we pray it will. Lord, we ask that your anointing would be upon Mike. Lord, and may you give him joy in all that he does today as he shares with us. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Thank you, Johnny, and thank you, all of you, for the opportunity to share with you this morning. I was sitting there in church thinking, you know, what a joy it is for Chris and I to be with you here in New Malden Baptist Church. I think we both of us had come to New Malden Baptist Church at least once before we even met one another, I think. Because Chris and I met through the Navigator movement in this country. And the leaders of the Navigator movement were based here in the years that we came to Christ in New Malden Baptist Church. And so you may not be aware of this part of your history as a church, but the Navigator movement throughout the UK and throughout Europe and into Eastern Europe and Russia really radiated out in many ways from this church, through members of this church who were in leadership of the Navigator movement. And I think that's a wonderful part of your history. It's a wonderful part of our history too. So now it's special to be with you because of Ruth and Andrew and Hannah and Katie being part of this fellowship. And so it's a joy to be with you. And it's when Johnny asked me if I would be willing to speak, I was thrilled for the opportunity to share with you. And Johnny also gave me a free hand, which sometimes when you're going to stand up and the pastor says, whatever God lays on your heart, you begin to think of 110 different things that you would like to share. But as I prayed about it, I felt that I know that you've been going through little vignettes in your services about some of the basic things that are really important for us as Christians to help us live our lives as followers of Jesus day to day. In fact, the last time we were here, I think Claire and Rick were doing a little thing as a family on why church is important and worshiping together. And so I thought, well, at the risk of repeating something that someone else has said, I would share this morning on the importance of the Bible. And that's why I chose to speak about this passage, because it's a very important passage in the New Testament in which the Apostle Paul is stressing to Timothy, who he's been mentoring for about 10 or 12 years at this point, the importance of the Bible in Timothy's life and teaching. It's helpful to just think about the context a little bit in which Paul writes this passage that Johnny read to us. The second letter to Timothy is written by Paul when he's anticipating being put to death under Nero, the Roman emperor. There was a massive persecution of Christians in Rome going on, and Christians were being dragged out of their homes, sent into the arena, with lions and you know, horrible tortures, set on fire on stands, and Nero had arrested some of the leaders of the church in Rome, including Paul, and Paul was expecting to be executed very, very soon. So the letter is important when we think about Paul and we think about his sort of last letter to Timothy and to us as the people of God through the ages, this great apostle who'd given his life to see the good news of Jesus spread through the ancient Roman world. But it's also important not just because Paul wrote it at that point, but because of what was happening in the church as a whole at that point. So this is about 65 AD. It's just probably 36 years after the events that we read in the Gospels, the death of Jesus and his resurrection. So the Gospel's been spreading out rapidly around the Roman Empire as the apostles spread out from Jerusalem. Some of them have already been killed. Soon after Paul was killed, we believe that Peter was also killed by Nero in the same persecution. James, the Lord's half-brother, who was the leader of the church in Jerusalem, had been killed shortly before this. It's only 5 years before Jerusalem itself was destroyed by the Romans, and the center of the early church was scattered. It's written at the point when that first generation of followers of Jesus, the people who had actually been there and heard and seen Jesus and had witnessed the resurrection, this letter is written at the point in the history of the people of God when that first generation are passing on, they're moving off the scene, and they're passing on to the generation of people that they had mentored and that they had brought the good news to. They're passing on the truth to be preserved for further generations. And it's also written at a time before they had the Old Testament, of course, but before the New Testament was formed. We know that certain parts of the New Testament were already written, all of Paul's letters, except this one. And we know that Luke and Acts had already been written, because the book of Acts ends before this. And we know that Luke was with Paul in the Holy Land about 4 years before this letter was written. And so that's when Luke obviously collected and wrote the information in his gospel. So the New Testament is beginning to come together. The Old Testament is there, clearly, already. And Paul is writing this letter urging Timothy on the importance of holding on to what he's been taught by the Apostle Paul and by his own mother and grandmother, and making sure he keeps the truth of God clear. Let me read a few verses from chapter 1 of 2 Timothy. So Paul writes to Timothy, "Don't be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God." The gospel, the good news of Jesus coming into the world, that which we read in the Gospel of Luke and the Gospel of Mark and the Gospel of John and the Gospel of Matthew. Some of this already written down, some of it being written down at the time this letter of Paul was written. Paul says, Timothy, guard this. Make sure, even if it costs you your life, that you hold on to this truth and make sure it's passed on. Verse 11 of chapter 1 of 2 Timothy, "And of this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am." Paul's whole life was given to getting this good news, the glorious good news of the coming of Jesus out into the Roman world. "That is why I'm suffering as I am, yet I'm not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I've entrusted to him for that day." And so Paul says to Timothy then in verse 13 of chapter 1, "What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us." Timothy, guard this, keep it. This important deposit of the truth that you've learned. The Old Testament scriptures, but also the gospel stories that are being written down by our colleague Luke, who was actually with Paul when he wrote this letter. And by others like Mark and Matthew and the other apostles. Guard it and make sure it's passed on to your generation and to the coming generations. That's the great thrust of this letter of Paul as he writes to Timothy. So look at chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things you heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will be qualified to teach others." Timothy, guard the truth. Hold on to it. Know it. Keep it. Remember it. And pass it on faithfully. And how much we thank God that Timothy and his contemporaries did just that. Despite persecution, despite death, despite difficulty, despite the very difficulty they had even before the printing press, when everything had to be written down by hand, of keeping this truth for us. And making sure that it was passed on to us over the generations. And we could talk for ages about the history of the Bible and how it's come down to us today. But we have in our hands the truth of God passed down to us over the generations because of the legacy of men like Paul and Timothy, who preserved this truth for us and make sure it got passed down to us. Now, there are many things that are important in our Christian lives. And, you know, I think of Sean. Thank you, Sean, for that lovely testimony. It's a joy to be with you for your baptism. And I there are lots of things I'd love to tell you about my own journey spiritually, the importance of prayer, the importance of deeply believing that God loves you just as you testify. And as he has made clear to you through the gift of his Spirit. The importance of keeping Jesus at the center of your life day by day and in all the decisions you make. The importance of having Christian friends and being part of a worshiping community like this. But among those fundamentally important things about how we live as Christians, as followers of Jesus every day, one of the most important is the importance of the Bible. Because without the Bible, we just follow a Jesus of our own imagination. We don't know the truth about God. We're surrounded by a world of lies in which powerful influences are even consciously trying to implant wrong ideas in the lives of people like us. And, you know, I remember when the kids were small, we used to come back from Kenya where we were serving, and we'd listen to the advertisements on the television, because we didn't have a television in those days in Kenya, and we'd sit and listen with our teenage children to the advertisements and say, now, what is it they're trying to get you to believe? And is that true? And we are surrounded by a world of lies, a world that's trying to put ideas in our minds. And so for Sean, for any of us, if we want to follow Jesus, we need the truth of God. We need to know where we can turn to evaluate all the things that we hear and all the good ideas that we hear, even from the pulpit. How do we know? How do you know whether what I'm saying to you this morning is really true? Well, we test it against what we have that we know God has revealed and that has come down to us. So knowing the Bible and then learning to share the Bible with others is really, really important. It's a really important part of our Christian discipleship, of our following Jesus. So let's jump into this passage that Johnny read. So I'll read verses 14 and 15. They'll be up there on the screen as well if you want to read them. Paul says then, as for you, Timothy, continue in what you have learned and become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it. Now, this is a big deal. It's important to know those who pass the truth of God on to us, who teach the Bible to us, because we know the genuineness when we see people's lives. And a lot of young people today are learning about the Bible from people they'll never, ever meet or see because of media and books and the internet and so on. But there's always a danger. If you don't know the people you're learning from, because you can't see the life, you can't see the genuineness. One of the joys of being part of a fellowship like this is you're learning the Bible from people whose lives you can see. You can see that they love God. You can see that they're genuine, that they're people of integrity. And Paul is stressing this here. As for you, continue in what you've learned and become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it. And then he says this beautiful thing, which I was thinking of again, Sean, as you shared your testimony to Timothy. He says, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation. Now, not every one of us has that privilege of knowing from infancy the Holy Scriptures. But we know that Timothy had a believing mother and grandmother, and presumably they were the source of his knowledge of the Scriptures from infancy, and it probably provided a great platform of stability for Timothy's faith and life and growth. Not all of us have that privilege. But we don't sit there saying, oh, I didn't get the opportunity. No one taught me the Bible when I was little and so on. No, when we come to Christ, then we say, let's get on now. And Sean can't sit back on her laurels and say, oh, I was taught the Bible from... No, no, Paul's writing to Timothy, continue in what you've learned and firmly believe. Press on. Keep getting to know the Bible better. It's really important. The Bible, Paul says, is able to make you wise for salvation. That is, the Bible, as nothing else, no other literature, no other Christian books in the same way, are able to help us understand and have wisdom and understanding about salvation, about God's great work in our lives to deliver us from the wickedness and evil that's in our hearts and in our world. It's the Bible that makes us wise for salvation. And then he goes on, All scripture, verses 16 and 17, if we just go to the next slide, it'll be there for us. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man or woman of God, I'm sure Paul would approve of us adding women in there, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You know, in the convention of that day, the word man was used of men and women generically. You know that, I'm sure. So it's not sexist language, it's just the way they talked of mankind. So that the man or woman of God may be thoroughly equipped, ready for every good work. Now, all scripture, Paul says, is God-breathed. As Christians, we believe that ordinary human beings wrote the Bible. Yes. This letter was written by Timothy. It was written at a time and a place. Timothy was in prison. We know something of the circumstances. All of the Bible was written by ordinary human people. It's a human book. And we read it knowing that, but all scripture, Paul says, was God-breathed. That is, that God, by his Spirit, guided the writing of the Bible. He inspired. That literally just means he breathed into the writers so that he directed, so that the Bible is Spirit-filled in itself. It's God's word as well as being Paul's word or Moses' word or Jonah's word or Jeremiah's word. It's also God's word. And the Bible repeatedly makes this claim for itself. When I first came around the navigators and I was trying to understand who is this group, I remember hearing a navigator leader saying, we're those sort of Christians who believe that Jesus is who he said he is and the Bible is what it says it is. I found that very, very helpful. The Bible says it is God's word. God inspired. You know the story about the little boy who came into the house one day and said, Daddy, move the car. And Daddy looks at him and says, what? Wait a minute, Billy. You don't talk to Daddy. He says, Daddy, move the car. And the daddy's beginning to get a little bit irritated. Daddy, move the car. And then the father looks at him again and he says, Daddy, there's a policeman outside and he says, move the car. It makes a difference who said it. And so it is with God's word, with the Bible. It makes a difference who said it. This is God's word and we receive it as such. And because it's God's word, it's useful, Paul says. We use it among us for teaching. That is for helping us to know what is true and right and good and just and what happened in Jesus' life and his teaching and his death and his resurrection and what happened in the early church and what happened to God's ancient people. We turn to it for teaching and for what we can learn from that. It's also important for correcting. That is for for rebuking. That is for telling us where we're wrong. Oh, I always thought, but then I read it in the Bible and I realize, no, that sort of behavior is wrong. Or that isn't true. The Bible is not only useful for teaching, but also for rebuking, for showing us where we're wrong, and for correcting. That is for helping us get right again. Get back on track, and then for training in righteousness, he says. I get up in the morning, I live on Park View when I'm here in this country, and I see all these men and women out there running and doing their, there's someone who organizes a sort of boot camp or something on the common, and people are up there super keen at 6:30 in the morning doing their exercises, and that's great. Of course, we should take care of our bodies. And in whatever way is appropriate for our age and stage of life, I might add. But Paul says to Timothy in his first letter, in chapter 4 of his first letter, he says, bodily training is good, it's of some value, but training spiritually, developing your spiritual muscles, you know, is, how do you develop your spiritual muscles? Well, it's through the Bible. As we read the Bible, as we get to know the Bible, as we strengthen ourselves with the Bible, and because the Bible is God's word, Jesus tells us in Matthew 4:4 that the Bible is like spiritual food. Jesus himself quotes from the Old Testament, Deuteronomy, and he says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The Bible is spiritual food for us because it's God's word. Jesus also said that God's word is like seed. Now, we plant seeds in our garden, and we, as Jesus says in Mark 4, he says, we sleep and rise night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. We don't know how. The Bible works like that in our lives, Jesus told us, because it's God's word. It has power to change us. As we read the Bible, as we commit parts of it to memory, as we think about it, as we study it together in home groups, or listen to it preached in church, the Bible is, it has that power to transform us like seed. And the truths that we're reflecting on can change us as we hear and receive it. Then Paul goes on. So he's talking about the importance of knowing the Bible because that the Bible is God's word. And then he says it's also important, Timothy, to share the Bible, to preach or teach the Bible to others. Look at chapter 4 then, verses 1 and 2. And look how Paul stresses for Timothy the importance of what he's saying. I find this quite moving. So here's Paul writing his last letter to this young man he's mentored, and he says, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, in the very presence of God, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing, that is his coming again, and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Now, I don't know what Paul could have said to impress on Timothy that this is really important. This is solemn responsibility. And it's maybe good for us to reflect on what would the Apostle Paul say if he was here this morning? Do you think he would be as firm with us? As clear with us, as strong with us, would he be saying to us, in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge. Well, you might be sitting there thinking, oh, Mike, you know, it's not quite the same for us. Because like Timothy back then, you know, if Timothy didn't do this and you know, then the whole purpose for which Jesus came might have been lost in history. But let me remind you that for every one of us, there's a network of friends and family and relationships that Timothy is not going to speak to. Timothy is not going to come back from the dead and talk to your friends or your family. For the people around us, we are the messengers of God's word. As we dig into the Bible, as we continue in God's word, as we get a hold of its truth, we are the ones with the responsibility to carry it to those in our neighborhood, in our world, just as much as Timothy was in his. And then he says, preach the word. Now, you perhaps immediately, again, you switch off and you say, but I'm not a preacher. I don't have the training that Johnny's got. I don't have one of these things at home that I can put outside my front door and stand and read the Bible to people on the doorstep. And I think it's sad in a way that our English translations use the word preach there, because the Greek word that's used doesn't mean preach in the sense that we think of putting a pulpit up. Now, putting a pulpit up and having a time on Sunday morning when someone preaches is not a misapplication of this, but it's a very limited application. The word simply means to announce or to share or proclaim. It's the sort of thing you do when you say, did you hear that Plymouth Argyle actually won a match? You know, I'm a Plymouth Argyle supporter, so this is a painful point for me. But it's the excitement I hear, that I feel when I hear that Plymouth Argyle have won, and I tell my son-in-law in Colorado, Matthew, I tell him, you know, Plymouth Argyle won! And so he's named our internet, what do you call, you know, that you log on, you put the name of the of your, he's called it Plymouth Argyle Forever. So when our neighbors go on to log into their internet, they say Plymouth Argyle Forever, you know, is right there. So no, but it's that excitement about good news. It's that sharing of things that I'm learning from the Word of God that Paul is describing. And in fact, he makes that clear when he says, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. In season and out of season. So it's when you would normally do it, i.e. Sunday morning in church. That could be the in season. But you do it out of season too. You do it at the time when it's not. You know, you go out picking strawberries when strawberries aren't there. So to preach the word, to share the Bible in season and out of season, is to do it when you normally do it and when you don't normally do it. And of course, Jesus is a great example. If you look at Jesus' life, there's no reference that I know of anywhere of Jesus having a pulpit. Well, maybe when he went into the synagogue and he was given the scroll and he sort of did the what we would view as a Sunday morning thing, but then a Saturday thing, of course, for the Jews. But Jesus is teaching the Bible when he's walking with the disciples, when he meets someone who's sick, when he's fishing, when the crowds are there, yes. But all the time, Jesus is steering conversations to the things of God and teaching the Word of God. And that's the model, of course, for these early Christians. And that's also the model for us. Preach the word. Share the Bible with people. Be prepared in season and out of season. With great patience and careful instruction. Great patience and careful instruction. I love that. Now, why is this so important? Well, Paul goes on. It's not on the screen, but it's here in the text. Verses 3 and 4. He says, for the time will come when people will not put up with healthy teaching or sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside into myths. But you, Timothy, you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill all the duties of your service for God. So people are turning away from the truth. You know, there's an ignorance about the Bible today in our society around us that is staggering. I bet if you did a sort of poll of houses up this street here of what people know about what the Bible teaches and the level of misunderstanding of what it teaches, it's just enormous. And so it is challenging for us, not perhaps challenging in the way that it was for Timothy, with Christians getting thrown into to the lions or strung up and executed or burned to death, but it's challenging in other ways. But we need to embrace the challenge of our generation, of our context, to be men and women, followers of Jesus, who really get to know the Bible, Now, I don't know what that means for you. I don't know whether you have a daily quiet time when you try and read the Bible at some point every day. You know, I did a quick little sum before I came this morning, and I worked out that if you read a chapter of the Bible, just one chapter of the New Testament every day, between now and the end of March, by next Easter, you would have read the whole New Testament. I don't know whether you've ever done that. But that could be something. That could be an application from this message. Or perhaps you've done that a few times. Or perhaps that feels too daunting for you. Well, you know, the Bible is, I mean, we talk about the Bible as if it's one book, but it's actually 66 different books. It's a library. So if this feels like a bit, whoa, Mike, I'm not sure I could get my head around all of that in one go. No, of course you can't. Take a book out of the Bible. Just decide this week to take out the book of Colossians or the book of Philippians. And just read it several times over this week. By the time you come back to church next Sunday, you could probably know more about what Paul says in his letter to the Colossians than anyone else in the congregation. It can be that attainable. But you need to set yourself, if you're anything like me, you need to set yourself a little challenge. Or maybe what would really be meaningful to you as a way of engaging with the Bible over this next little while would be to choose a favorite psalm and try and commit it to memory. It's amazing how, for me, when I try to commit passages of the Bible to memory, I think about the truths that they're teaching much more deeply than I would normally. Or maybe the thing for you is to commit. Maybe you've been putting off joining a church home group or Bible study group. And what would really help you engage with the Bible is meeting with a group of others to talk about the Bible. Because learning to talk about the Bible is really, really important, as Paul is stressing. I just want to finish by reading a passage from Deuteronomy. This is going back to a period of history when, you don't need to look it up, I can just read it for you here and you can try and listen carefully, but this is going back to when the first portions of the Bible were given to the people of God. So God is giving the very first bits. You remember he called Moses up the mountain and he revealed things to Moses, and Moses brought those things down. The sort of summary of it was written on the tablets of stone as the Ten Commandments. But at the same time, God gave Moses this instruction about what the people were to do with the word that he was giving them. And God says this, "Hear, O Israel," this is Deuteronomy 6, 4 to 9. Deuteronomy 6, 4 to 9. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength." That's important. That's the context of what he's going to say. So love God. Well, how do you love God? How do you grow in your love for God? Well, he goes right on. "These commandments that I give you are to be upon your hearts." How do you get the word of God on your heart? Well, you've got to think about it. You've got to read it. You've got to meditate on it. You've got to give attention to it. You perhaps have to memorize parts of it. "These commandments that I give you today are to be on your cell phone." No, the Bible, of course we want it on our cell phone as an app. But the Bible wasn't given just to be an app on your cell phone, but to be the disk operating system of your whole life. And it needs to be where it can influence all our thinking. It needs to be on our hearts and on our minds. And then he says this, "These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children." Sean's given testimony about how her parents did that. One of the great joys of my life was trying to give my children, our children, a love for the Word of God. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. And then he says, tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads and write them on your door frames of your houses and on your gates. What's all that about? Well, you know, put them up. Have Bible texts. You know, buy a calendar that has a Bible verse on it so that you're being reminded of the Word of God. I used to walk around as a young Christian with a little pocket New Testament in my pocket, and with Bible verses on cards that I'd written out to help me stay thinking about the Word of God, because I want the Word of God to shape the way I think and the way I view life. And that takes effort and energy. And learn to talk about it. Talk about it at home. When you get home today over lunch, talk about it. When you walk on the road back, talk about what struck you. What do you remember? Talk about what you're going to do about it. Because learning to talk to one another about the Bible is the way that we learn to talk to others who don't know Jesus about the Bible. Okay, can I pray for us? And then I'll hand back to Johnny. Father God, we thank you for the men and women who over the centuries have given us your word, who were close enough to you that you could breathe into them your word to give us. Would you help us to treasure its truth, to treasure it, to meditate on it, to learn it, to continue in what we've learned and become convinced of, to allow it to shape our thinking and our lives. And would you help us to learn to talk about it with others, with our Christian friends and even with our non-Christian friends, so that those around us might be grateful to you for us in the way that we are grateful to you for Paul and Timothy. For we ask in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.